We're going to be in Matthew chapter number 1. We're taking a little bit of a Christmas break from our series on the miracles of Jesus. But Matthew chapter 1, and then I'll be over in Luke chapter 1. It doesn't take long to look at this world to see that there's a lot of fear in this world today, and fear really breeds a lot of cowardice, and our world today is just plagued by all kinds of different fears. But the world today isn't too different from the world of 2,000 years ago, and right here in the first Christmas, there was a lot of fear for a lot of different reasons. And at least four specific times, the angel of the Lord appears to different characters that we're going to see today and tells them, fear not. And it's beautiful to study these together, and that's what we're going to look at in the Word of God today. Matthew chapter 1, and we'll start reading around verse 18. Read a couple of verses here. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, or it happened in this manner, that when as his mother Mary was espoused or engaged to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. In other words, this announcement by Mary to Joseph that she's pregnant is really put a strain on their relationship, to say it mildly. I mean, you know, imagine that your wife-to-be comes in and says, I'm pregnant, but I've not been with anybody, and it was the Holy Ghost that appeared, and there was this angel telling me all these things, and he's got to be thinking, you know, do I have stupid on my forehead or something? What kind of idiot do you think that I am? And all his friends, no doubt, had to be saying the same thing to him. How could you believe such a crazy story, Joseph? She would make up that she's the mother of the Messiah. I mean, what's going on? So Joseph is really considering divorcing her. At this time, engagements had to be broken off with a divorce. And that's how binding even an engagement was in this first century culture. And so he's not willing to make her a public example. In other words, he doesn't want to embarrass her in front of everyone. But he said, this is too much. I can't do this. But while he thought on these things, verse 20 tells us, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And how beautiful this announcement is from the angel to Joseph, that this is the Messiah. She is telling you the truth. You can trust the word that she is telling you. I see here a past and a present and a future in what the angel tells Joseph. As we see that as he's addressed in verse 20, Joseph, thou son of David. That's going back to his past, to his lineage, to his ancestry. So the truth is simply this, that looking back generation after generation after generation, and by the way, you can go to Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, and read from the very beginning, from starting with Abraham in verse 2 and following the genealogy of Jesus. And so generations previously, I mean some 20 generations or more previously, God had set things in motion. And God knew exactly what was going to transpire, and that this one that was coming would be born of Joseph of the line of David. And although this was impossible for Joseph to wrap his mind around, what is God doing? What is God up to? The angel points back to the past and says, look back at your ancestor. You're one of King David's descendants. And look at what God has set in motion. You know, in your life and in my life, we can look back and see God has set things in motion years ago. In Sunday school, we were talking about Joseph and how that he was sold into slavery by his 11 brothers. And he was lied on by Potiphar's wife. He was forgotten in jail. And here he was, innocent, and rotting away the best years of his life in a Egyptian jail. And if it was me, I'd be questioning, God, what are you up to? Why are you allowing this to happen to me? Why? I've done nothing wrong to deserve this. Why is these things happening? And yet Joseph kept his eyes on the Lord. And Joseph remembered the Lord, and the Lord remembered Joseph. God had set some things in motion in Joseph's life that was going to come to pass. God had him in the right place at the right time, although Joseph couldn't see it at the time. As we know that he was raised to second in command over all of Egypt. And he tells his brothers, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, to save many lives. And God is writing similar stories in your life and in my life today. The things that are happening and the things that have happened in our past that we can't make sense of. God knows how to bring it all together for good. And He knows the story that He is writing in your life and in my life. And in Joseph's case, it happened multiple generations back in his past. God had set the plan in motion through King David, through the line of David. It says, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife. This is the present. She's telling you the truth. She's not lying to you. Now, this takes a step of faith for Joseph, even still. And he's got a tough decision that he's going to make. Is he going to believe God and believe this incredible, I mean, you talk about a crazy kind of suggestion. Is he going to believe this? Or is he going to turn away from it and still say, this is too much, I can't do this? Well, thankfully, he does choose, yes, I want to follow the Lord. And he chooses in the present moment to trust the Word of God. And we got to do the same thing. When life doesn't make sense, and when we can't figure out the pieces of the puzzle, and when fear is staring us in the face, we got to keep trusting in the Lord. There's so many people who are afraid for our country today, and I agree with that in the sentiment of concern, but we know that ultimately God is in control. And we see that our faith has got to be firmly rooted in Him. And we see that Joseph gives faith into what God has promised him. And it doesn't just focus on the past or the present, but also goes to the future. And she shall bring forth a son, and I shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. This promised one that was coming is going to be the Savior of the world. And God allows Joseph to be involved in this wonderful ministry, this wonderful mission to bring the Savior into the world. That's a humbling responsibility. And no doubt he felt the weight and the pressure of that responsibility. But at the same time, what a beautiful gift that's been given to him. And God gives the same gift to all of us. He invites us to join him in his kingdom work and in his kingdom message to share the good news. And the choir was singing that song of come, come, come to the Lord, come to him. Hope is found in him, and hope has hands. And Jesus has come to give that invitation to each one of you. In the book of Revelation, the very last invitation of Scripture is Jesus saying, come. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. We are the bride of Christ. We are the one who is involved in this kingdom mission that we get to say, come to Jesus. He is the Savior of the world. He is the light of the world. And He has come to us. We're going to go over to Luke chapter 1. As we pick up the second person here that we want to take a look at. And in Luke chapter number 1, and we start reading around verse 12 or so. And let's back up and read starting around verse 10. The whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. So this is Zechariah is inside the temple offering the sacrifices at this time. And there appeared unto him the angel of the Lord, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard. Thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and shall call his name John. Thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the kingdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And the angel addresses Zechariah's past at the very beginning. Your prayer is heard. And he tells him, and maybe some of you have prayers that you have prayed for a long time. And as we've said before and in years past, maybe Zechariah had stopped praying this particular prayer, because he is totally taken by surprise at the announcement of the angel and at the fulfillment of his prayers. It'd probably been a long time since he had prayed that he and Elizabeth would have a child. He thought that was a gone dream, a dream that was dead, a dream that was forgotten, a prayer that never went answered. But God heard the prayer, and God had set things in motion years and generations before, and God knew what he was going to do as he was bringing about John the Baptist at the perfect time, at the perfect moment in human history, to be the forerunner for Jesus Christ, the Lamb that was slain for our sins. And there are times that we have prayed prayers that seem to go unanswered, and we don't know what God is doing. We pray these prayers and we say, God, why aren't you answering this prayer? It's not a bad prayer. They weren't praying for a selfish thing in praying for a child, but God had a different plan in mind. He had a different purpose in mind. And sometimes when our prayers go unanswered, God has a bigger picture, a bigger purpose.
Right.
He may not be saying no, but it may be just wait. And so God answers this prayer in a very unlikely way, in a very unlikely time. When they thought it was impossible, God stepped in and did the impossible. And we have seen God do that through our prayers here as well. Many of you, as I look across here today, I know the answers to prayer that God has worked in some of your lives. And it hasn't happened how you expected and when and where you expected, but God answered those prayers in a mighty way and in a powerful way. We have seen story after story. I think about Camp Andrew and what God is building there, and how He's bringing many things together. In our own life, we have seen that happen. This new position that God has led me to with the Southwest Radio Ministries, that was something that God had set in motion years ago that I had no clue about. And here's an open door of opportunity. And God has set these things and brought these things together at the right time, at the right place. And God knows what He's doing, and God knows what He's building. And so don't give up on your prayers. Don't quit praying those prayers. There may be a person that you're praying for, somebody that you've prayed for years perhaps, maybe even decades, that you are seeking God for and wanting God to work in their life in a special way. Maybe they're not right with God. Maybe they're unsaved. Maybe they're not in church. Don't give up praying for them. Don't quit praying for them. God is working in their hearts. I don't doubt that there's names that I'm praying for, that I've been praying for years. And I believe, on the basis of God's Word and through faith in Him, that He is working in their lives. And He is bringing things about in their life in ways that we can't even comprehend. And we want to continue on in faith, believing that God hears our prayers. And God heard Zechariah's prayer. Maybe he doubted, God doesn't love me. And God doesn't hear my prayer. God's not responding to me, but God did love him, and God does love you. God did hear him, and God does hear you, and God did work and move in this situation, and God is working and moving in your situation and in your life and in the life of the loved ones that you are praying for. Excuse me. So don't give up in praying those prayers. Don't give up believing that God hears those prayers and that God is working in their life. And so he points to his past. Your prayers have been heard. Then he points to the present. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear a son. You shall call his name John. And then he points to the future as he points to John and the ministry that God was calling John to. A important ministry in this time to be the forerunner for the Messiah, to be like Elijah, preparing the way for the Messiah to come. You talk about an answer to prayer. This wasn't just a child, but this was the forerunner to Jesus Christ and getting to be caught up in God's kingdom work. As God is building His kingdom, God answered this prayer in a powerful way for them. I'll flip on over maybe a page or so. Later in chapter 1, we see this same thing answered again. Excuse me, I've been fighting a cold, and last Sunday was a really rough day for me physically with recovering from surgery and then this cold and things too. So excuse me while I get a drink. But we're going to be looking at Mary here in Luke chapter 1 and down around verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin, the spouse to a man whose name was Joseph, at the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." We'll read the rest of the verses, but here's the same command. Fear not. This is the third time we're seeing that. Fear not, fear not, fear not. The past, as the angel is talking to Mary, you have found favor with God. You have found grace with God. And God has given us His grace. Even when we were still sinners, Christ died for us, Romans 5 tells us. Excuse me. And we see that even when we were away from God, even when we were apart from God, God loved us with an everlasting and unending love. That's a love that we can't even comprehend. You know, we may stand up for somebody who's innocent and we say, "Oh, they don't deserve to die. They're innocent. Please, this is unjust. We need to stand up for them. We need to defend them. They're being treated wrongfully. They're innocent. Don't put them to death." We may stand up for somebody like that. As Pastor Brad was mentioning, even the unborn that we stand up for because they are innocent. But it says, what about somebody that's on death row because they deserve to be there, because they were caught red-handed committing some atrocious crime and the state has said they were guilty and we're going to punish them with a lethal injection. They deserve to die. Who would rush in and say, "I want to take their place. I know they're guilty, but I still want to take their place"? That sounds crazy to even say such a thing. You know, we wouldn't do that. But yet, that's what God did, Romans 5 says. Even when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The innocent stepping in for the guilty. What great love. And that grace that appeared to Mary is the same grace that has appeared to all of you. The word favor is the same word as grace. You have found grace with God. Each one of you has found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Jesus loves you with the same love that He loved Mary with and Joseph with and Zechariah with. These aren't special people, but His love is for everyone. We're going to see that in the next Fear Not as the angel appears to a group of shepherds who are on the outskirts. So notice the past, the grace of God, the present, verse 31. "Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus." This is the work that God is doing in her life at the present moment. And then notice on down in the next couple of verses, the future. "He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David." There's that connection with King David again. You see, Jesus had a double blessing. Through his father Joseph, he was a descendant of David. Matthew gives us that genealogy. But through his mother Mary, she was also a descendant of King David. And Luke gives us that genealogy in his gospel. And so we see that it all points back to God setting these things in motion generations ago through Joseph and through Mary and through their family. God is bringing all the pieces of the puzzle together here at this time. And He's pointing Mary to the future. He will have the throne of His father David. And think about this. God promised King David, I think it's in 2 Samuel chapter 7, that there your throne will continue forever. And you will always have somebody sitting on your throne. And God fulfills that promise that He made hundreds, well, really even 1,000 years previous to King David. Fulfills it right here through Joseph, through Mary, through giving Jesus Christ into the world. And Jesus is the one who is on the throne and will be on the throne forever and forever and forever. And of His kingdom there will be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" The angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. The power of the Highest will overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which is born of thee is called the Son of God." And the God allowing her to be caught up in this kingdom work. One more time we see this. God is fulfilling His past promises in the present for the future. And God is doing the same thing today. Look over in Luke chapter 10 in the last one of these series of fear nots. Luke chapter 2. And let's start reading in verse 8. They were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. They were scared to death. I mean, you're out here in the field and all of a sudden this bright light appears and there's all these angels around you. You'd be scared to death too. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." God reminds them in the past that He had set this plan in motion. Excuse me, I'm sorry about that. Galatians 4:4 tells us that in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem them who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. You know, God had set this thing in motion. And He had brought it forth at the very perfect time in human history to redeem us from our sins, to purchase us, to pay our sin debt. And it is for you, unto you is born this day in the city of David. These shepherds, they were at the bottom rung of society. Shepherds, even think about this. Shepherds could not testify in a court of law because their testimony was deemed impermissible. Because they couldn't be trusted was the slander on the shepherds at this time. And we see that what we see the angel coming to announce is that unto you shepherds is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. God's redemption plan in the past was for these shepherds in the present and going into the future. This will be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. You know, if you grew up in church, you've heard this verse all your life. If you watch Charlie Brown Christmas, you get to see it as Linus gets up there and drops his blanket and begins to quote this powerful passage of Scripture. And it sounds so nice and warm and cuddly and cozy. And we're thinking about sitting on the couch, eating popcorn, drinking hot chocolate, watching Charlie Brown Christmas. And that's so cozy and comforting. But think about this. The sign to the shepherds is that you're going to find this baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. This is just rags, strips of cloth, lying in a manger. A manger is a feeding trough. You know, we're going to find the Messiah laying in a feeding trough in some kind of a barn. You know, what are you talking about? This sounds crazy. But God has a plan, and He has a purpose, and He knows what He is doing, and He knows what He is setting in motion. Jesus wasn't born in the palace just for the elite, but He came to seek and to save the lost. He came for everyone, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Even the lowly shepherds who were outside, on the outside looking in much of society. God appeared to them. The angels came to them with this message of salvation. God comes to us with the same offer of salvation. Excuse me, I apologize for all this coughing and water and everything else today. I want to just close with this. And you know, the song, God Rest You Merry Gentlemen, many of you know that. Pastor Brad shared that story behind the song on our radio program. It's also on our website under our podcast link. You can go listen to that. I believe that was Friday's episode, the story behind God Rest You Merry Gentlemen. That's a curious first line. But basically, the idea is we don't have to be afraid. Don't be afraid. You can be joyful, gentlemen. You can be joyful, Christians. Let nothing you dismay. Let nothing scare you. Let nothing terrify you. Remember, Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. O tidings of comfort and joy. Comfort and joy. O tidings of comfort and joy. When we look at this present world, there's a lot of fear, as I said in the very beginning. When you look to the future, there can be a lot of fear. We were talking about this even in Sunday school, that a lot of times when we're thinking about the rapture or thinking about the future, there's a lot of fear in wondering, how are these things going to happen? Am I going to be ready for those things? We don't have to be afraid. If our faith is and trust is in Jesus, we don't have to live in fear. Our Sunday school lesson was about Romans chapter 8, as Pastor Brad said. We read that verse and we know that all things work together for good. And also Romans 8:35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Can the devil separate us from the love of Christ? No. Can temptation, can persecution? What about when we're going through hard times in life and we can't figure out what God's doing? Has He forgotten us? Has God abandoned us? No, He has not. Nothing will separate you from the love of God. You are safe in Him. You're secure in Him. Nothing is going to pull you away from that. It's not about what you have done to earn it. Now, I told our Sunday school class with our youth group, you know, I don't make my kids say magic words at Christmas. Excuse me. And say, oh, thank you, Dad, for this present in your name. Thank you so much. And if they don't say it just right, and they don't get the words just right, I say, Christian, I'm sorry, you don't get this gift. You didn't say the magic words just right. And no, I don't make him do that. I don't make Allison do that. They just simply receive the gift. And God isn't looking for us to say magic words the right way, and I got to get these words combined just right, and what if God doesn't really hear me? What if God doesn't really accept me? What if God doesn't really save me? You're thinking about yourself. You're thinking about it from your perspective. Look at what God's Word says. If you have received His gift of love, nothing is going to separate you from His love. Even when you're going without. Even when you're in times of persecution. Even when there's not enough money in the bank. Even when there's not enough food in your house. Even when there's not enough to sustain you day by day. God hasn't abandoned you. God hasn't forgotten you. He's right there with you. Every single step of the way. We don't have to live in fear. We can live in faith. We can live in confidence, knowing that He is with us. As it says, if God is for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up freely for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? He hasn't held anything back from us. He gave us Jesus to die on the cross. Why should He hold back anything else? From God our Heavenly Father, a blessed angel came, and unto certain shepherds, but brought tidings of the same, how that in Bethlehem was born the Son of God by name. Fear not, then, said the angel, let nothing you affright. This day is born a Savior, the true and radiant light, to free all those who trust in Him from Satan's power and might. Now to the Lord sing praises, all you within this place, and in true love and fellowship each other now embrace, This holy tide of Christmas is filled with heavenly grace. O tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. O tidings of comfort and joy. We can live with comfort. We can live with joy. You know, even in the rapture passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it says, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." When we look to the future, God wants us to be comforted. He doesn't want us to be scared. He doesn't want us to live in fear. He doesn't want us to give in to the temptation of the devil to doubt the Lord, to doubt His purpose, to doubt that His plan is unfolding. We may not be able to see how the pieces of the puzzle are coming together in our life and in our world and in our nation today. But God is working. His plan is being fulfilled, and His plan will be fulfilled. We don't have any room for doubt because God is in control, and we can trust Him. Fear not, that was the call to each of these four. And I think God would say the same thing to you and to I today. Fear not. The Lord is with you. Trust in Him. If you've never called upon Him as your Savior, that's that first step of faith. That's that first step of trusting in Him. He loves you, and He wants to save you from your sins and to be your Savior, to give you life forever through Jesus Christ. And dear Christian, you can trust Him every single step of the way, no matter what happens in your life today or tomorrow or next week or next month. Trust in the Lord. Keep looking to Him through faith. Let's go to Him in a time of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank You that You give us these words of comfort and joy, that we can live without fear through eyes of faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm so glad that nothing will separate us from the love of Christ. No matter what we go through in this old world that we live in, we know that evil is all around us. We know we live in a dark world. We know this is a tough time in our nation's history. Very dark days in the history of America. But Lord, we still look to eyes of faith, to You. Lift up our eyes unto You. As it says, that we lift up our eyes unto the hills from whence cometh our help. Our help cometh from the Lord, the Maker of heaven and earth. We know that we can trust You, Lord Jesus. I pray if there's anyone here today that has never received You as Savior, that You would continue the work that You're doing in their heart to draw them to Jesus Christ. Maybe somebody today is struggling with doubt. They're afraid over the salvation of their soul. There's an insecurity in their heart. They're unsure of if they have really trusted in You. I pray that today You would help them to settle back once and for all and to know that they are trusting in the completed work of Jesus Christ. It's not about what we do. We can never earn forgiveness. We can never earn grace. That's impossible. It's all about what Jesus has done for us. All that we do is just humbly and simply receive it by faith, believing that You died on the cross for our sins, that You rose again the third day to accomplish the payment for my sins and their sins and the sins of the whole world. Lord, I pray that You would give them that security today to know that they are secure in Jesus Christ forever. And that is great words of comfort and joy. God, I pray for us as Christians who may be struggling with our faith. Maybe there's a prayer that we have prayed for a long time. Maybe somebody that we've been burdened for years. We're not seeing that prayer answered. I pray that You would help us to continue on in faith, believing that You are working. Even when we can't see it, even when we don't sense it, we believe by faith You are working. Scripture is filled with examples of people who You stepped in an unlikely time and did a powerful work in and through their life to accomplish something great for Your kingdom. And Lord, I pray that You would increase our faith, that we would trust in You and see You do great, mighty things in our lives.